I'm thankful this afternoon for the touch of the Savior and for the confidence in that touch as we face an unknown future, to know that God is not a God just of our past, but that He is most definitely the God of our future. I have been reminded these last couple weeks, and I shared it, our congregation in Chilliwack, about the love that we have for each other. And just, this isn't my burden this afternoon, but I just want to leave this with you, that there is a special love we share as a family, and the freedom that we should feel in that love with each other. That the devil likes to make us feel sometimes like we're going to say something wrong and people are waiting to pounce on us, and the whole holier-than-thou aspect and everything that sometimes surrounds people that have done their best to live as well as they can, that can be intimidating. And I want us to all feel the love that we have is most important. And don't allow the enemy to make you be something you're not because if you're afraid of what people will think or say, and to feel confident in the compassion and the love that we have for each other in everything we go through in life. And desires that we have for each other is that we do well, that we make heaven our home. And there isn't anyone here that would want to see someone broken or hurt or to stumble or fall. And the enemy likes to make us feel like that sometimes. And it's good for me to remember that. Sometimes I don't want to get up and preach. I'm going to say something wrong or somebody's not going to like that. But I rely on the love that we have for each other. And if you don't like something I say, just come talk to me about it. We can figure it out.
Talk to the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. But it's just, I want us to feel that. And that's something the enemy really pokes at and pushes at. And if we lose that love, if that love leaks out, then we don't have anything left. So I want to talk to us about the touch of the Savior. And I told Brother Michael yesterday that I was looking forward to coasting through this meeting. And then we sang that song, and the Lord touched my heart with some thoughts that He had already given me. So that's what I get for saying that. I'd like to turn to John and in the 9th chapter and to read this story about the blind man that Jesus passed by. And the touch of the Lord that he had. This was a experience. This was a life-changing event that this man come in contact with. It lived his life in a certain way, being blind. And I wouldn't focus so much this afternoon on the blindness specifically, but simply that he had a need in his body that he was born with, something that was visited upon him. And the question that they had, understandably, and when you think about the old law and the way that things were in the past, that the sins of the fathers were visited on their children, and there was things that were handed down from generation to generation as a curse, if you will. So their direction coming at this was there must have been somebody that did something wrong at some point for this man to be in this condition. Who in his genealogy made mistakes, and now this man is suffering being born blind. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made the clay of spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent, and went his way thereof, washed, and came seeing. And the neighbors therefore, they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, the man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool in Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. This blessing that come upon this man's life. And just to lay the foundation here, that there are things that we encounter in life that we're both born with and things that happen to us over time. We can be hurt. I have weaknesses in my flesh that I believe I was born with, that I was born into the flesh, and I have maybe propensities to be a certain way. You have propensities to be a certain way, and some are more evident than others. This man's fleshly difficulty was very evident. You could look upon him. People knew his need. He was blind. He had to beg. He couldn't take care of himself, and he needed support from people. So very evident something that was visible to everybody that was around could see this challenge or this deficiency that's in his body. And the reality is this afternoon is that all of us have areas in our life where we have deficiencies and needs, things that either we're born with or through experience, through things that we go through, other people affecting our life that can cause damage in our life, cause damage in our emotions, cause damage in all aspects and different parts. And as we come in contact with these things, the question is often like these people asked, that whose fault was this? Who sinned? And many times when there's a hurt or when there's something that is broken within us, or in this case, this man didn't have sight, the question is, why is it this way? And what's the reason? And what's the cause? And we get so caught up sometimes in the bitterness or you think of the emotions that this man had to have gone through. And I think of my own needs that I have, that they aren't as visible. But there's times even I've questioned, why do I have to deal with this? Why am I made this way? And why is this something that causes me to continually have a need in my life? And no doubt, and there may have been ones that prayed for this man. It doesn't say what kind of remedies he sought, but there was a need that persisted in his life all of this time that he had to deal with, and somehow he kept an attitude of desiring something that would change. His obedience to the Lord. When the Lord came and told him to go and do something, there was a reaction in him that didn't say, oh, I've always been blind, I'm going to stay blind. But there was an anticipation that this man was going to be able to make a difference in his life. And I don't see him asking what the others asked. I don't see him going to the Lord and saying, was it my dad's fault? Or why am I all these years that I've wasted? He went in the water and he washed and he received the blessing that the Lord had for him in this place. And as he went about and they asked him, he was ready to say, I'm the one. Yes, you saw me, and now there is one that has touched my life, and now there's a difference in what he has done for me. And when Jesus talked about being the light of the world in this place, it's not in a declaration that he made. It was in the proof and the reality of what God had done in this man's life, or what Jesus had done in this man's life. There was a light that began to shine. You think about when Jesus went into Jerusalem and he was riding on the donkey, there were those that were there. And the reason why many of those were there were some that saw him raise Lazarus. There was some that had seen the miracles that he had done. And because of that, there was an aura and a light about him and a reality to who he was as the Son of God. He wanted them to believe on the Father and to believe on him, and because of that, to believe on God. But there was an experience that came with him that was more than just saying, I am the Son of God, or I am the new Messiah. Many had came, many different ones had come through time and tried to take that cloak or to take that position. But here is one that came with the blessing of God on his life that he could impact and change the situation and lives that he encountered. And this is what made him the Son of God, that gave the proof to his testimony. Any other men could have came and told this man to do this or that, but this blessing came because it was Jesus and the light of what was going to shine out of his life. And I would this afternoon that we would, in our difficulties, in our challenges, that we would recognize we are emotional beings. We have a tendency, our feelings are drawn after things. We can go over those things over time and turn it over and turn it upside down and left and right. and we have a tendency to think about what could have been and what this has caused me or this what this has cost me in my life. And the reality is that when God comes and wants to bring a blessing, it's time to respond. It's time to be obedient to His word, to His touch. There was something this man had to give. We heard the other night about the covenant, and then there was a response to that. Jesus was coming to touch this man, and then there was something He asked of him in return. And because of his obedience, the blessing of God fell in his life and change brought his sight back or whatever need or the different conditions that we have that we bring before God. And in different places in my life, I think of strongholds that I've had and battles that I've had. And it seems to me that when the real victories came was when there was a time of sacrifice, there was a time of getting down and underneath and humbling something that God had brought, and then there's a victory that comes after that. There is a salvation from that place, there is a healing or a restoring, but it takes something on our part to respond to what God is bringing. And you can read in all different accounts when it, and this is a maybe a totally different subject, but it fits in here, that where faith is, that there is a call on our faith and our response to that faith. That this, in other words, this man could have went and washed in the pool 100 times before Jesus came and he still would have been blind. Yeah. But when the Lord came and brought an inspiration to his faith and he responded to that inspiration, then the healing came in his life and there was a change. But until that time, he had to deal with the necessity and the need that he had and remain in a condition that he could respond to the Lord when he came to bring that inspiration. And we can many times, in the places that we're in, and even needs that we deal with those that are around us, that we have the right to call on God for a response. We have the right to ask Him to move, but there must be an inspiration that comes and our faith respond to that, and then the miracle of God falls in that place. So in our needs and in those places and conditions that we have before the Lord, we want to stay in a place that we are ready for the inspiration for God, that our life changes from one who is dealing as a beggar by the gate or wherever this man was, ready for the Lord to do something for this thing or for this place in my life. I appreciate so much how in this place it said Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind. And in my thought process, that I think, well, I'm going to make sure I put myself in the way then. I want his attention. I want to call on him, but I want to be patient in waiting for him to bring that inspiration of faith that I can respond to. There is many things that we have in this life are visible, but it's really been impressed upon me the things that aren't visible. Needs and in dealing with people and with myself, and we don't really understand some of the challenges and some of the burdens and some of the things that people have gone through in their life, some of the difficulties, and whether they were born with a certain propensity or whether they were afflicted or what, just through life. And I think about watching my own father's life and things that he went through and things that happened to him and his response to those things and knowing how they affected him and being close to him. All of us have that experience too, where we see someone else go through something and then there's a blowback, there's a touchback that affects us because of what we see, the people that we care about. But most of those things are under the surface. We don't bring those things. We're not like the blind man and everybody says, look at the blind man. But we're dealing with the same issues sometimes in our life that we need the Lord. And He helps us from day by day to keep the right attitude, to keep our bitterness in check, to keep our security in Him, to keep our eyes on Him. But then there is a special blessing when Jesus comes along and He brings that inspiration to have a change or to heal or to restore something that has been broken for a very long time. And our faith and our anticipation has to be that, Lord, I'm ready for that time. And until that time, I'm consecrated, I'm dedicated to you. My heart is in your hands and I will stay in this place if it's necessary until the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed in this place. And that's where a lot of this comes down to. You realize that this blind man, his even his sight, even him recovering his sight, as much as of it was a blessing to him to be a blind man and a man that could see, the real blessing was that the glory of the Lord fell in a place, a healing happened because the Son of God was there, and there was a glorification not to the man that received his sight, but because of the miracle of a miracle-working God that loves his creation. And in our own life and the places that we're in, it helps if we get our focus and our desire off of necessarily the trial and upon the glory of God. Jesus taught us this in his own battles and in his own journey, that the things that he encountered, his desire over and over was that God would be glorified in his trial and in that place. And because of that, then the anointing and the blessing. And in one place, God said, I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again. And then I begin to yearn for that place. We're not from our own elevation, but that the name of God and that the faith, the light, it might be revealed to those that are around us because of what God has done in those places. The testimonies that we have, the attitudes that we have, the response that we have to situations in life, this is where the glory of God begins to rest. Because it goes beyond what this world can offer. It goes beyond philosophers. It goes beyond psychiatrists. It goes beyond some of the professional help that we can receive. And sometimes that may be necessary. But this is something that goes beyond that. Where God takes something and he begins to restore and renew something that was broken. A healing occurs. And then the glory. There is no other way. There isn't any other person that can glory in that healing and in that touch that God brings in those places. That this work might be manifest. I think about when Jesus was talking about this, understanding that he had a limited amount of time for him to make the impact and to be the light of the world in this place before he had to give his life. But then I think about how many years has that been now? He's not here in the flesh, but the light of the world still exists from this type of occurrence in your life and in my life. And when we encounter issues and when we encounter quote-unquote blind people, it is the time for the glory of God to be able to shine in those places. It's not something that we cower from. It's not something that we run from. But we recognize that there is one that is able to move on a situation that no professionals can help, but God can affect and change. And this is the light of the world. We preach our messages. We live our lives in a certain way, and that has value. But there's lots of orders that live their life in a certain way and follow a certain creed. The light of the world comes when the glory of God falls in a place and changes are made in lives, healings are brought, sins are forgiven, guilt is relieved. This is where the glory of God rests. And when we want to make an impact on those that are around us, when we want there to be a recognition of the reality of God and what he can do, this is where it's found. The people that would have, you think about the Pharisees, and they had a lot of things that they were doing, but then the people saw this and the glory of God was administered. And then they had to say, who was this? Who did this? It was this man named Jesus. I met him, I did what he said, and now there's something different about me. And that testimony, that reality, and as real as his blind eyes can now see, that testimony rings true in our life. But we can say what we want. We can live like we want. But when God begins to touch and begins to move on our needs, there is a reality and a testimony that cannot be denied. He wasn't only able to see in a certain period. He was able to see all the time. The blessing of God was administered and displayed. And now the glory of God lives in this place because of what he did in his life. And I want us to be able to not be, I get this way too, that sometimes when we face certain situations and there's challenges, it's easy for us to look at the past, it's easy for us to look at the scope of what we're dealing with, and that sometimes begins to blind us or distract us from what God can do in any situation in those places. Just as these men, what if it would have been they said, Lord, here's a blind man. We know you've done miracles. Would you heal him? But their response was, who did wrong here? Why is this man like this? You see the difference of thought. Lord, help us to have the mindset that when we face blindness and we face things that are under the surface or visible, that my response is, Lord, hey, let your glory fall in this place. I don't care why things are like they are now. I just want you to move in this place that there might be a testimony, that there might be a realization, and it may be in a small place or it may be in a big place. It really doesn't matter. I just want the glory of the Lord to be seen and felt. Even it may be on a one-on-one experience even. Somebody that you're helping or trying to assist and carry, and nobody else knows about it. But the glory of God falls in that place and there's a restoration. And in that, the blessing of God rests. Lord, help us to have a mentality and a sight to look for those places and not to be scared by them. Not to think it's too big, but to see the majesty and that. Really, when it comes to the glory of God, we like to think about how big God is. We like to think about His majesty. And I was driving this last week down in California, and I took a little side road through the mountains there out of Lancaster. And you're going through these hills, and it's just majestic. It's big. And you come around this one corner. I got out of the car and looked, and I've been to the Grand Canyon, but it reminded me of that. It was almost more than your physical mind can take in, the vastness of it. And when we begin to see God in that light, and we like to think, but think about that in light of the issues that we face sometimes, and realize that the glory of God is greater than, that His impact is greater than gritting our teeth. It's greater than something that I'm just going to will through because of my willpower. But this is God. He creates something. He moves. He has a tangibleness that goes beyond natural physics. That goes beyond even the laws of gravity, like we heard about this morning. That when His moving comes on a scene, time stands still in one place. His ability to impact and change. And we heard about some of those consequences and actions. This is where we need the mercy of God sometimes, because yes, there's been choices and actions and consequences, but now we need the grace of God because He restores what's been broken, puts back together what's been broken apart. And my thought and my desire is, Lord, help us to bring that message of hope to those that are in that place that, yeah, I know you got in this condition, but there's one that's going to make a change in your life. And when you're fighting those battles on your own, when nobody understands, when you feel that hurt, when you feel that weakness, when you feel those places that you don't know why you were made that way, and you don't understand why you're feeling what you feel, that there is one who understands. Yeah. Mom and dad may not understand. Our spouse may not understand. We may be older and have felt with those things all of our life. But I want you to know something, that it doesn't matter if you've been quote unquote blind from your youth or from as long as you can remember, that there is a man named Jesus that has the capacity to change your circumstances, your life, to take your burden, your pain, your suffering, your depression, and make a change in your life. And until that time comes, you hold to the hope that at some time Jesus is going to pass by this way. He is my trust. My faith is in Him. And at some time He's going to pass this way, and I'm going to obey when He tells me, Ken, this is what I need you to do. And then I know by that inspiration in my faith that He is going to change this thing that I've dealt with for I don't know how long. There isn't other answers to it, folks. This man, he was blind. There wasn't anywhere he could go. You understand that there wasn't any other outlet. And for many of the things that we deal with sometimes, there isn't any other outlet. There isn't any other safety net that I can go to. My trust and my confidence and my faith, there's only one. There's only one. And if I put my trust and my confidence in Him, when that time comes that He sees fit, when He passes by, then I want to be ready. I want to have my eyes set on Him, looking for. And it can even be, we've talked about this, sometimes we can make bad choices. And I know that there are times that even when I have prayed about something, and I have tried to seek the leading of the Lord, it's possible that I can still make mistakes sometimes. And I am not so full of myself to think that I always know what's right. And there are times that I may make the wrong decision or not see something correctly. But the beauty of God is that even when we find ourselves in that position, where even of our own doing, we sang that song right before this message about broken lives and heartaches, and many times those things come from our own choices. That God doesn't look at that and say, well, why are you in this condition now? It's when we seek Him and that desire. It doesn't. The devil is the one that points and says, because of you, you're like this. Because of mom and dad, you're like this. Because of your own choices, because what you've done, you're like this. And now you have to suffer what you've chosen and where your life is. And now you have to stay in this place. As where the Lord is coming along and saying, no, I have something, I have relief, I have mercy, I have something to bring you that will make a change in your life. And then there's going to be glory in this place. Sometimes we don't understand why. And I think about different ones that I love and I care about and things that they go through. And it wouldn't be what I would choose. It wouldn't be what they would choose. But there is a special blessing that God has for those that have suffered affliction, that have suffered in places of need, that have kept their confidence and their trust in Him, that have desired Him to be their one that would touch them. And when that communication, that inspiration is in place to trust Him, then there is a special glory that is in there. And it doesn't always come in the manifestation that we expect. I have had needs in my life that I have had for as long as I can remember. And I appreciate the power of the Spirit and the victory that we have in the Spirit. But I can tell you that when I got saved and sanctified, all of my needs and all of mine didn't just go away. Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh that he sought before the Lord, and he learned in his weakness he was strong. He learned to rely because he needed the Lord to live in the way that that was necessary of him. And it's the same in your life and my life, that it's not when we get saved and we get filled with the Spirit that it's some magic bullet that suddenly every need and every temptation that I ever had is gone, but rather now there is a power for us to overcome those places, an enablement. You can call it a crutch if you want, but I need one until such a time as He restores what's lame. And understand that when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about our flesh. We don't live with a lame spirit. We don't live with a lameness and an inability to rejoice in the Lord or to have peace, or that it's not my lot that I didn't get to have peace and salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the challenges that we face in the flesh that I still face today, that I faced yesterday. But the assurance is that there is one that is going by, and this is where the glory of God is. It's not in the easy things. It's just not. It's not in the things that I don't battle with, in the things I have no problem with. Easy for me to stand up and preach on things that don't interest me because I don't care. But where the glory of God rests are those places where I've had to make a sacrifice, where I've had to get down, where I've had to humble myself, where I've had to cry till I got bled, till I've had to yield myself. Then the glory of God rests because the victory, the attitudes go away, the things that God does in our life, then I find the glory of God. And I think that you find in these places, this man, it was found in obedience. It's usually not in something that we have done. This man, yes, he was obedient to go wash in the water, but the recognition that it was God that had done something in this place. And in our own battles and our own needs before the Lord, our glory doesn't come that I stand on the mountain and I say, look what I've done, and me and God. It's usually in those places of submission and sacrifice, and where I've had to bring myself and beat myself down under the power of the Spirit, that then I find the glory of God in that calm, in that quiet place. This is where and it's because in one place it says His glory doesn't share with any other. It's not mine. When I'm able to overcome a weakness or there is victory in my life in an area, it's not so I can elevate myself. This man, he didn't go around saying, look what I did, I healed myself. But rather the glory of God rests where our submission is. I'd like to read here in John in the 12th chapter, in the 21st verse. These men that came to the feast, they said, they sir, we would see Jesus, in the 20th verse. 22nd said, Philip cometh and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. When I think about Jesus, as his mental thought process went through what he was going to encounter, the inspiration that he had for what lied ahead, and his response was, should my response be, Father, save me from this hour? Nay, it was for this hour that I was born. And I think about this man being blind. And he didn't have the luxury to think ahead, to say, I'm going to be blind until such amount of time. It just happened to him in life. But many times we face things in life and we have to have the same outlook, the same perspective, the same spirit as the Lord. It's something that will encourage us and help us if our thought process can be, Lord, save me from this hour, but rather for this hour was I born. Yes. To understand how important the spiritual is versus the temporal. To be able to see beyond what the affliction is for the moment. To see the far and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Jesus in this place recognizing what he was going to go through and what the value and what the glory of God was going to come from that. And in our places of need and our places of difficulty, many times I've thought, Lord, save me from this hour. I don't want to travel this path any longer. But the inspiration this afternoon is, Lord, save me from this hour. Nay, for this hour I was born. We were born to bring glory to God. But it wasn't by standing on the mountain and looking wonderful. It was to bring glory to God by our submission to Him, even through the difficult and the hard things. Then that's where the glory of God is. So for us to see with our spiritual eyes, then in our time of difficulty, don't save me from this hour, but rather I was born for this time, that your name might be glorified in my life and in my weakness and in my challenge. This is an opportunity that people are going to see who God is. Not to see who I am, but to see the reality of the one that I love. And the things that aren't seen very often, yes, those things are maybe beneath the surface, but they have outliers. They have. You can see the results of what has occurred under the surface. And sometimes they're visible. But regardless, because our relationship with God is personal, it's one-on-one, it's not always out in the open. Lord, for this hour was I born. Lord, help that to be my testimony, my desire. I don't want to ask for trouble that I don't have to have, but for the trouble that I have been given, the necessities and the needs and the weaknesses that I have been born with and I have encountered through time. Lord, help me to understand, for this time was I born, that your glory might be manifested in my life. There's no. Do you understand that there is no greater love that I can give back to Him than to submit those places to Him? I can't bring him anything else. I don't have something I can create. I can't. My value, the way that I show him I love him, is in these places to say, "Yea, Lord, glorify your name." As long as is necessary, help me to stay in this place. And I think about when Jesus went through his trial. It struck me how he never spoke. He was very quiet. It wasn't grandstanding. He just simply went through this time submitting. The beauty of that teaches me something. That it would have been easy for him to be shouting in the moment. Look what I'm going through. Hey, I'm dying here for all of you. But it was his quiet submission to God in that place. And the glory of God was registered in that place. In his resurrection. Oh, that resurrection is something more than in eternity. That resurrection is something that happens in this life. When I take those places and those needs, those depressions, those attitudes, those bitterness, those things I've had to deal with, and I'm able to allow them to die, there's a resurrection of life that takes place in those dead places. It's the beauty of our sacrifice. We've heard about sacrifice some, and in the old law they had this dead and it was consumed. But when it comes to this new covenant with God, when we make this sacrifice of death, of laying down, then there is something that is born out of that fire. There is a life that comes. And we've all enjoyed, well, we're going to have youth camps. We're going to be able to see the fire. And there is a beauty and a glory that is there. There is something special about fire. And it's because it's something that consumes. But when I think about this consuming fire and our sacrifice before God, there is a beauty and a glory that comes and a life that is born out of those places of submission. One last passage of Scripture I want to read here. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter and in the 5th verse. This was Paul preaching. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to impress it upon you this afternoon. It says, "For we preach not ourselves." It's not our glory. It's not our power. We can't affect the blind man in any way, shape, or form. And we can spit on the ground all day long and wipe people's eyes, and it's not going to have any effect. But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, this one, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I do have a message to tell. I appreciate the ministry that we have to minister to those that are around us. You know, that is the call that all of us have in our life, to go to those that are blind and to minister as servants, this one who has the power and the ability. And it may not be in that moment, but I want you to have an anticipation. And in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your experience, I want to help you and minister to you to get your eyes off of the experience and to begin anticipating the one that's going to pass by this way at some point, that you be looking for and anticipating that God is going to change this in my life. And until such a time my eyes are fasted, that is our calling. This was Paul's calling, to be that servant, that messenger, that there's one that's going to change. I don't care how you got here. I'm here to tell you how it's going to change from the place that you're in. He says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," this light Jesus was talking about, "has shined in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Exactly what we've been talking about this afternoon. The light and the understanding of where the glory of God rests, it's in Jesus Christ and in these places of healing and restoration. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed." How else can that be, except there be something greater than ourselves? In the places, and he didn't say these things are easy. He's saying that in the midst of it all, there's something that is going to hold us up until such a time as even these things are taken care of. Persecutions don't last forever. They either last till we lay down this body, or there is even a time of reprieve in this life, and the Lord sees fit to heal and to restore something that has persecuted us for years. But until such a time, not forsaken. Cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That submission, that laying down, that life and that glory might be shown all about. For which we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus which be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know how beautiful that is. You really think about that. This mortal body, all that men have done, all of the things that you can go look at, creations, development, feats, there's no greater glory than when the glory of God is manifested in this mortal flesh. This little clay that the very God of heavens and all of eternity is going to come down and visit and restore something in my heart, that's glory like you can't find anywhere in any part of the universe. That this God would come and deal with me and do something for me, that the glory of God might be shown in this mortal flesh, in this body. It says, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Paul was talking about the sacrifices that he had made. "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Lord, help that to be my testimony. Lord, help me in all the things, the hurts that I've experienced, the disappointments that I've encountered, the things I was born with. Lord, help me to see that all things are for my sake, that the glory of God might be demonstrated in this mortal flesh. Lord, just help us that we might See, in this place, he says, for which cause we faint not.
Right.
But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We sang that song last night, let me die in peace at last. At the cross is what it was talking about. And I thought of different ones that I've loved, that I have seen live this life, that they've gained their victory and they've laid down their life, and then they've found peace at last. Lord, help me to stay in that place of that dedication, that in all of my things that I deal with, until I can lay down at peace at last. Don't have to fight these battles any longer. So it's not so bad that the outward man perish. That's all right. I don't want it to stay that long anyway. We talked about heaven this morning, and that got me thinking, yeah, let's just go. I've had enough. So it's not so bad the outward man is dying a little bit day by day, because my anticipation is for something so much greater. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Like this blind man. And if you're in that place this morning, this afternoon, I would encourage you as a minister, as a servant of Christ, to anticipate, to keep your eyes fasted on the one that is able to change those things. And it doesn't always happen overnight. And there are times that it's incremental. And there are even times that we go and the Lord brings a reprieve, and then we have to go fight some of those same battles again. And in those places, I would encourage us this afternoon to keep our eyes on this one. Because when He brings that inspiration and I respond to it, I have a faith and a confidence that the glory of God is going to be found in my life. And do you know that those are the things that no one can take from us? You can change somebody's mind about a lot of things. You can teach somebody. I won't get into politics, but they say that people tend to start in one line of thinking. And as they get older, they kind of trend in a different direction and see things in a different way. And the older they get, you change the way you think. But when it comes to these places where God's glory has been revealed, you can talk to your blue in the face. You can give any philosophy, you can't reason away what I've seen in those places. And those are the things that bind us. Those are the things that solidify us and give us a foundation that our faith doesn't get shaken, because I've seen the Lord in this place. So I'd encourage us this afternoon to keep your eyes on the Lord and to minister this gospel to those that are around us. There is one that came to set free, to set loose, to restore, and that is our hope.